Okay, so the Mishnah, the last Mishnah, mentioned about the Mokum Ha'Aron. Yes, we'll just catch up. Mentioned about the Mokum Ha'Aron, right? That the Aron was. Yeah, it's recording.
It's not.
No, flashing is not. Oh. Mokum Ha'Aron. So we mentioned the Mokum Ha'Aron was in the Lishkas Dira Eitzim, in the Lishkas where they kept the wood. Bring a whole rice, with a story about how the Kohen Balmum was there working there and he found it. And that brings up the idea that we know that the Aron was hidden, and we brought different opinions where exactly that was. So now we continue on discussing about the Aron. So three lines down, Tezayin Amud Aleph, Mishenignas Ha'Aron. So when the Aron was hidden by Yoshiyahu HaMelech in anticipation of the Churban, Nignas Imer Tzintzenes Haman. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take a flask of man, a jar of man, and keep it hidden in the together with the Aron. So that got hidden as well. Sloiches Shemen Amishcha, and the flask of the Shemen Amishcha, which was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, was also hidden, and therefore that was what was used to anoint Kohanim Gedolim and the Malachim, the kings. That was hidden. Makla Shel Aron, Opirchav Ushkedav, and the staff of Aaron, which with the machloikas of Korach started to grow flowers and almonds, that was also kept in the Kodesh Kodashim, that was hidden. And the box which the Plishtim returned an asham, a guilt offering to Hashem, that after the Plishtim took the Aaron from the in the times of Eli, when Eli was passed away actually, and they returned it after it got struck with a plague, they sent golden gifts to Hashem, and that was kept as well, and that was hidden.
Isn't that a shtickle nice that the flowers and the almonds remain there?
Yeah, the whole thing was amazing, isn't it?
Normally these things would disintegrate, would rot after time.
Yeah. Okay. Mi ganazoi, who hid it? Yoshiyahu ganazoi. Yoshiyahu, the king, hid them. Kivin shirasha kasev, he was reading in the Torah. We know that Yoshiyahu, the Torah, was almost lost in his time, and he found the Torah, and he started to reading it. And it says, Yoylech Hashem oizchav ezmakcha shetakim alecha elgoy asher lo yadaita, that Hashem will take you and your king that you've appointed over you to a nation that you do not know, atav avisecha, you and your fathers. And he realized that this was a klala that for not keeping the Torah, and that the Jewish people now are deserving of such a thing. He hid the Aron and all of these things. And this is what we see in the pasuk, that he said to the Levim, Hamavinim, Ulechol Yisrael, Hakdoshim Hashem, Tnu es Aron Hakodesh Bevayis Hashem Bana Shloima Ben David Melech Yisrael. Place the Aron into the room which was built by Shloima Melech. And the pasuk continues that you no longer have carrying on your shoulder. Amalehem, what was he saying to them? Was it? Correct, because that was the plague that they got struck with. I'm not sure why that was kept in Kodesh Kodashim. I had the same question. Okay, so what does it mean that you won't carry?
Which of them was Avodah Zarah?
Well, it wasn't Avodah Zarah, it was a gift from the Plishtim. So why would you keep the gift from the Plishtim in the... Okay. Amalehem, so what was Yoshiyahu saying to the Levim? Im goy lahu imachem lebavel, einatem machzirin oisei. If you're going to take the Aron with you into Galus and Bavel, you will not... It's not coming back, because the Goyim are going to take it, they're going to like it, they're going to keep it. Oidlam koymai. Ella, so rather what? Ata ibduus Hashem lekechem, besama Yisrael, you go and serve Hashem your God and the Jewish people, and hide the Aron, and you'll serve everything else without carrying the Aron.
But what Avodah Zarah did they have anyway at this stage? The Aron was b'mkoyim emunach. They weren't carrying
it. Okay, they weren't packing up.
And it was in Yerushalayim, it sat there.
So he's saying like this, Ein lachem masa b'kasef in carrying the Aron out into Galus. That's what he says. Amar lahem, what he's saying to him is, Im goy lahum machem lebavel, don't take it with you.
It doesn't say they all were concealed in the same exact location.
It doesn't. It says Mishan Nignas, but why was it kept there in L'chatchila? It was kept. Why was it kept there in Kodesh Kadashim with everything else? Okay, Pitum Shemen Amishcha. So how do they make the Shemen Amishcha? Because we mentioned the Shemen Amishcha being kept in the Kodesh Kadashim. It says you have to take the different types of spices and their weights. V'kidah chamesh meyoyz v'goymer. Shehein elef v'chamesh meyoyz minim. The total weight of the spices which was used in making the Shemen HaMishcha was 1,500 mane. Shemen Zayis Hayushneim Asar Lug, and the oil which was used to make the Shemen Mishcha was only 12 Lug. Sheboshokin is a ikrin, that they would cook in the roots of the spices was cooked in this oil. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Shokin Hayu B'mayim. He says, no, you didn't cook the roots in the oil. Rather, you cook the spices in water, v'noisen shemen agamben, and then after the water absorbed the flavor of the spices, you floated oil on top of the water, mishaya koilet tzareach, and once it absorbed the fragrance from the water, hay ma'aviroi kederach sha'tamim oisin, they would then skim it off, and they would collect the oil just like the people who make perfumes do. Hadohu d'chsiv, and this is what it means. Shemen mishchas kodesh v'goymer. There's shemen mishchas kodesh, and the pasuk comes along and continues to say merkachas masei rekeach, means that it's made in the way of making perfumes. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda be Rabbi Eloi, shemen mishchas shasa Moshe b'midbar maisen nisim nase boi. So he says the making of the Shemen Mishcha was filled with miracles. Mitchila v'ad soif, from beginning to end. Shemitchila, in the beginning, loy hayaboy ela shnei masal lug, there was only 12 lug of oil. Shenema shemen zayis hin. Im lasuch boy seikrin loy hayaboy safek. Sipek, it wouldn't be enough. This oil is not enough even to shmir. You had 1,500 mone worth of spices, spice roots.
A big pile.
Right? That minimal amount of oil is not enough even to shmir over all of that, let alone to cook it in. Furthermore, when you actually, if you were going to cook it, then the fire would cause evaporation of some of it. And the wood itself would absorb some of the oil. And the pot that you cook it in is going to absorb some of the oil. And yet, nonetheless, from what remained after this cooking process, Nimshuchu Mishkan v'chol kelav, Moshe anointed the Mishkan and all of its kelim, Hashulchan v'chol kelav, HaMenorah v'chol kelav, the Shulchan and the Menorah and all of its vessels, Umenu Nimshuchu Aaron Kohen Gadol, Banav Kol Shivas Yimei Amiluim, and Aaron and his sons were anointed on each of the 7 days of the preparation of the Mishkan, Umen Nimshuchu Kohenim Gedolim Lachim Melachim. And then all of the Kohenim Gedolim and the Melachim throughout history until times of Yevshio were anointed, and there was still oil left. Now obviously this follows the view of Rabbi Meir, who says that the roots were cooked in the oil. Rabbi Yehuda says no, rather it was cooked in water and then they put the oil on top. And the reason he says that, it's brought down in Chagig, is because of this, because it doesn't make sense. So he says it was done more in Derech HaTeva, and therefore they cooked it in water, and then they took the flavor off. Okay, Melech B'tchilaton Meshicha. The first king of a family, the first king had to be anointed with oil. Melech ben Melech, but a king who's the son of a king who was anointed, or the son of a king, the son of the king, the son of a king, etc., who was anointed, Ein Ton Meshicha. My time, what's the reason? It says, Kum Mashcheu Kizehu. It says, come and anoint him, because he is the one. This is talking about David. Hamelech, Shmuel to anoint David Hamelech, and it says Kihu Ze. What does the word Ze mean? Ze is a miut. Ze ton Meshicha. This one, or one like this one, who is the first one of a family that you're anointing, you have to anoint. Vein benoy ton Meshicha, but his son does not need to be anointed. Ava Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol, but the Kohen Gadol, the son of a Kohen Gadol, afilu ad asara doyrus, even 10 generations ton Meshicha, you have to anoint them all. Bekuloi kayim laasid lavoi. All of these things are going to remain and there forever.
So with Malachim, only if a new lineage starts.
So we're going to see in a moment, or where there's a machloikus over the Yerusha. Where there's a machloikus, you have to now prove and show that this is the right king. We're going to say that right now,
so
coming up.
So if it's a nephew, or if the be a grandson, would be also, because he's not the Benmach.
If it's a nephew lechayra, yeah, only a melech ben. Yeah. Now, interesting. It says like this. So the Tiklin Chadatin says, what does it mean? Kula kaim la'asid lavoi. It's talking about the full yud base lug. Zeladur isechem alma kulhu yud base lug kaim la'asid lavoi. That means even though they were using it for so many years, it's still going to be there in its full intact, in its intact shear. Okay, ein moshkan ha-malachim el agabe ha-mayan. Kings are only anointed by a mayan, next to a spring. Why? Because that's a siman that their malchus should endure and spread out like a spring, which is one of the reasons why we do tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. When we're crowning Hashem as king, we go down to a mayan, we go down to a river. Shenemar, how do we know this? It says, v'yikavtem es shloimeh bini al-haperda. You should put shloimeh melech onto the donkey Asheli, Boirad Demoisoi, Ela Gichoin, and take him down to a Gichoin spring, Umashachoisoi Sham, and there you should anoint him. Tzadok HaKoyen. Benasan Anavi, Lamelech Al Yisrael. So Tzadok and Nasan would anoint Shlomo there, Dafka, by the Gichoin, by the Maya. Ein Moishchin Melech Ben Melech. Now going back to what we said before, you do not anoint a king, the son of a king, unless there is a machloikas. So why was Shlomo HaMelech anointed? He was the son of a king, he was the son of David. Like we read about Adoniyahu, that he, a couple of weeks ago in the Haftorah, that before David HaMelech even passed on, he decided, no, he's going to be king. It was Almighty with Bathsheba and Nasan Anavi, right? So there was a machlokes. He had to kind of show that Shlomo HaMelech is the one, they had to anoint him.
What was the bottom line, Moshe?
Yechi, Adoni, David, HaMelech. Okay. Yoyash Mibnei Ataliyahu. Yoyash had to be anointed because of Ataliyahu. Ataliyahu, I believe, was his aunt, I think. And she went and she wanted to rule as queen, and she killed off all of the descendants from the royal family that she could find. And Yoyash was hidden in the...
He was a child.
He was a child. He was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? And he was saved. So he had to be anointed. Yoyachaz mipnei Yehoyakim, Achiv. And Yehoyachaz, who was a younger brother, had to be anointed because of his older brother Yehoyakim. Shehaya Gadol Mimenu, Beis Shanim, who's 2 years older. Yehu Mibnei Yoram, and similarly Yehu had to be anointed because of a challenge from Yoram. Lechein Ksiv, doesn't it say, Kum Ashcheyu, Ki Zehu, Zeh Tom Mashiach, Amen Ma'achi Yisrael Tunim Mashiach. So hang on 1 second. The last case, Yehu and Yoram, I think, were from Ma'achi Yisrael. They weren't from Ma'achi Yehuda. They weren't from Ma'achus Beis David. They came from the kingdom Yisrael, where the Malachim came from different Shvatim, but mainly from Ephraim. So it says, Ki Huzeh, Dafka, one like David HaMelech from his family. Ben Macha Yisrael Tunim Meshicha. Ella Yehoyachaz Mibnei Yehoyakim, Achiv Shaya Gadol Mimenu Shtei Shanim, V'lo Yashio, V'lo Yashio Genozoi. And it was not Yashio who hid it, because Lechaira, these were what? These came afterwards. These last kings that were after Yoshio. So if Yoshio hid the Shemana Mishcha, so how were they anointed? So he says, Hada Amra Ba'aparsamoin Nimshach, they were anointed with balsam. A parsamoin, with a balsam oil, not the oil of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is how the Malchi Yisrael, so answering up the question before, that the Malchi Yisrael were anointed not with the Shemana Mishcha of Moshe, Shemana Mishcha, but they were anointed with another type of oil, balsam oil. And we're going to see some other differences now. Ein Moshe Namlachim Ela Min HaKeren. Right, the kings are anointed with a keren, with a horn. Okay?
Does that mean the oil is poured from the horn?
Yeah, it means that the oil is poured through the horn to anoint it onto their heads. Now, why is that? So keren is a substance which is very strong and enduring. And again, it's a simon that the Malchi base David should have an enduring lineage. Shaul v'Yehu, but Shaul and Yehu did not come from Malchus base David. So nimshachu min apach, they were just anointed from a regular, simple clay jug. Ha'isa machuson machus averis.
The etzim inya of being moishchem in this way, shal being moishchem, chilu, you already set it up.
Correct. It was only done for COVID. It was only done to, yeah.
But he didn't have the keren.
No, but I'm saying theoretically, potentially shal could have been the melech and he could have stayed if he wouldn't have.
He could have, yeah.
But...
it was set up for it. Okay.
What's this?
Yeah.
His malucha broke.
Yeah. So it says like this. It says, why? Because ha'isa machus and machus averes. It was only a temporary machus. David and Shlomo nimshuchu min hakeren. David and Shlomo were anointed with the keren. Ha'isa machus and machus kayem. Machus kayemes. And therefore there was an enduring kingship. Ein moshrin koinim malachim. We do not anoint koinim as malachim. Right, because Koyanim belong to the Malchus belongs to Shevet Yehuda, right? And that was a problem which the Chachamim had with the Chashmonaim, is that they appointed themselves as to be kings when they were from Chashmonaim. They were Koyanim. They weren't doing the job that they were supposed to. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yehuda unto Daria.
But if you say that the Mechayla, the whole Malchus Beis Yisrael is really in the same boat as the Koyanim. Because if it's Malchus with David, then how can you have a Malchus Yisrael?
Well, that was the same
point. But Malchi Yisrael did have a status; it was recognized. It wasn't.
In what sense was it recognized? Did the Yolam recognize it?
No, it was even recognized in the Ephraim and Yehuda in Torah. It was recognized.
Well, they had no choice. They had to accept these were powerful people.
Okay, fair enough.
You don't have the vote, and these chevra, they were powerful chevra.
Therefore, on that basis, if you say that people attacked the Chashmonaim were also the same. They were powerful people. They had to
well, that's brighter.
That.
You have to so, accept, when someone who's stronger than you comes along and says, I'm your king, what are you going
to
do?
I'm trying to say, however, is that the lowest of the stresses of the Chashmonaim is the
it's more so than
a worse kind of than Israel, and I'm asking why should there be a difference in Chashmonaim and Israel? They both did the wrong thing.
Yeah. Okay, Al Shem, why is that? Because there's Lo Yasu Shevet Miyehuda. Now, it could mean Ein Moishchin Melach Koine Melachim. Maybe it also means with Shemen Amishcha. It could mean it. You say it was with Shemen Aparsumoin, and it was done with.
Because he's a Koyin, you could say maybe have a Hamlin at the same. Maybe he should get Shemen Amishcha. So no,
right,
way.
Correct. Because a Koyinim Gdoilim would get Shemen Amishcha, but no, they're the same as Machay Yisrael. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Ada Leman Yarech Yomim Amam Machtoi Hu Banav Bekerav Yisrael. So it says that he should, his kingship should endure, he and his sons amongst Yisrael. Maxi Basri, what does it say? After Zlo Yel HaKoinim HaLevim. So a different Raya, not because Lo Yel Shevet Miyehuda, because straight after it says it should not be to the Koinim HaLevim, even though it says that they won't have a Chelek in Yisrael, but at least with those words, Lo Yel, that this Inyan of Yarech Mamlachli should not be for Koinim. Amr of Yochanan, Hu Yochanan, Hu Yoyachaz. Yoyachaz was really Yochanan. Ba'aksiv, and this is what it says in the pasuk, I believe from Divrei Hayamim, Habachor Yochanan, Bachor Lamachut, Habachor Yochanan. It says Habachor Yochanan. The whole pasuk says Uvnei Yoshio. Who were the sons of Yoshio? Habachor Yochanan. Hasheni Yoyakim, Hashlishi Tzidkio, Varvi Shalom. So what happened to Yoyachas? So obviously Yoyachas must be Yochanan. Bahaksiv habachor Yochanan, but it says that he was a bachor. What does it mean? Bachor lemachus. It means that he was a bachor for machus. So here the Tikkun Chatan says, Vimken Yoyachas have a gadol. Yoyachas was the oldest. Vimken ayach kama Yoyachas mimne Yoyakim achiv shaya gadol memenu. How could it say Yoyachas before Yoyakim if he was the older? So he says, "B'chol lemachus olam Yoyakim have kashish," that Yoyakim was really the older one, but Yoyachas was lemachus. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who Shalom? And it says in the pasuk, the other son was Shalom, who Tzidkiyahu. This was King Tzidkiyahu. But doesn't it say, "Hashlish is Tzidkiyahu, v'arevi Shalom"? So in this pasuk, it says Tzidkiyahu and Shalom as two separate people.
But this contradicts the actual Gemara itself.
Why is that?
The Gemara just said that Shahaya Gadol Memenu Beis Shanim.
That Yehoyachaz was.
But like the other type of Gadola in years. It must be Bechor. Must be that he was
now, older. You're talking about Shalom and Tzidkiyahu?
No, Yehoyachaz and Yehoyakim.
If we're saying now that it was. That really the other guy was the Bechor, the older one, then why are we measuring Gadol in years? You know, it should be. I mean, it makes
stature.
Sense. Yeah. Unless it means years of knowledge, or I don't know.
But was
that the
Taklim Chabdin? Yeah, B'chol Malchus Shemalach Rishon. He was the first one to be king. Okay, so wait. So the pasuk says Tzidkiyahu and Shalom as being two different people, right? It says Hashlishi Tzidkiyahu Arvi Shalom. How could you say the one and the same people? So he says. So he says Shlishi Latodos Vidala Lamachus, that he was the third chronologically in how he was born, and he was the fourth one from this family to be king.
So his younger brother.
Yeah, his brothers, I think, Hashri Lamachus, Shemalach Yoyachas, Vachrav, there was Yoyachas, then Yoyakim, and then Yechaniah, his son of Yoyakim, like there was his nephew, and then Tzidkiyahu came back and from the Mishpacha and became king.
What? The brother-in-law, the father of the.
Anyway, so he's called. His real name, we said, is Shalom. Why is he called Tzidkiyahu? Tzidkiyahu, she tzidek alav midas hadin, that he accepted upon himself the din, that because in his time, that's when Melech Bavel came and destroyed Yerushalayim and Yehuda, and he was taken, and his sons were put to death in front of him, and he was blinded, and he accepted this upon himself. Shalom. Why was he called Shalom? She biyamav shloima. Shalom Malchus Beis David. In his time, that's when Malchus Beis David came to its end. because that was he was the last king of Yehuda. Okay, now we have a different opinion. Lo shalom hava shmei. Lo tzidkio hava shmei.
That's what it says when parents give fingers a kind of a look, a kodesh, and they.
Yeah.
The father gave the name Shalom, and he was the last one to finish.
Yeah, yeah. But now we say, no, his name wasn't Shalom, and his name wasn't Tzidkiyahu. Ela Matanya, his name was Matanya. Hadoh d'chsiv, and this is what it says in the Pasuk, Ve'yimloich melech bavel es Matanya doidoi tachtov, that he appointed his uncle as Matanya to be king over him, in place of him. Ve'yasev es Shemoy Tzidkiyahu, and his name was changed to Tzidkiyahu, but his real name was Matanya. Amr v'yeichanan, now going back to the Aron. Now we know that when it comes to an Amma, there's different measures of an Amma. An Amma, generally, the average Amma is 6 Tvachim, but you can have an Amma, a smaller Amma, which is 5 Tvachim, and there's even an Amma, which is 7 Tvachim. So in building the Mishkan, generally speaking, we have a Machloikas, whether there was one standard, they were all 6, or do we say there was a separate Amma's Habinyan for the building, it was 6, but for Kalim, the Amma was a 5.
Hang on, is there in Shabbos, you learn how do you learn 10 Tvachim?
Mm. Correct, correct. The Machloik is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, so why?
Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim.
Tanya
here. Okay. Yeah. So we have here, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Ba'amma shal shisha Tvachim haya Aron Asi. The Aron was, we're going to quote it. Hang on, we're going to quote it. So he says that the Aron was made up of 6 Tvachim. So it says, Amasayim v'chetzi. It was 2.5 amas long, amma v'chetzi rochmoy, amma v'chetzi koymasay. So it was made up of 6 tefach amas. Man tanaba amas shal shisha tefachim, who's the one that says an amas shal shisha tefachim, Rabbi Meir hit it. And Rabbi Meir oimer, kol ha'amas hayu b'bein noinis. All of the amas in the Mishkan were made up of the 6 tefach amas. Rabbi Yehuda oimer, amas ha'binyan shisha shokein l'chamisha. No, for the building was 6, but for the kelim was 5. Al daite to Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, do amas shal vav tefachim. So you say that the Aron was made up of 6 tvachim. So it was made as follows. Do,
Omar.
Yeah. You say that. So he says, Arkay shel Aron tesvav tvachim. Therefore comes out that 2.5 times 6 is 15. So the Aron was 15 tvachim long. Dichsiv amasayim v'chetzi Arkay. Amsa Ashisa, so one Amma is 6, for Amsa Ashisa, another Amma is 6, of Palgus, Amsa, and the half Amma is Telasa is 3. The Arba Luchos, how you boy, there were 4 Luchos in them. Shnaim Shleimim, 2 full Luchos, so Shnaim Shavurim, and 2 broken Luchos. Dichsiv Asheshibarta, the Samtam Ba'aren, the Luchos you broke, put them in the Aren. Now Luchos, how you call Echad, the Echad Arkoi Bav Tvachim, so each of the Luchos was 6 Tvachim long, Rachboy, Shloisha, Bav Tvachim, and Rachboy was Shloisha.
Isn't that chaylik on what we said yesterday? Had a separate Aron for the Luchos HaShvuris.
Yeah, so we have 2 opinions. That or it could be that when they went out to battle, then they put the Shvuris into that Aron. We saw there was a machlokes.
Which means that if to put the Shvuris into Aron means where were the Shvuris held when there wasn't in the battle?
That's what he's saying here. In the other Aron,
they were kept.
So you said otherwise you take the Luchos out of the oven to get the Shvuris out.
Maybe Shvuris, I don't know. Anyway, let's go. Let's
doesn't say the Luchos shouldn't go out of the oven. Isn't that possible?
Not the shvurois, not the broken luchos.
No, no. What I'm saying is, if you put the broken in the bottom, then you put.
We're going to see they were side by side now. That's what we're explaining. He had the 2 full luchos and the 2 broken luchos. That's what we're explaining exactly now. So he says the luchos themselves were 6 tvachim by 3 tvachim. V'tein arka shal luchos the arka shal arein. The length of the luchos went against the length of the arein. Nishtai sham shloisha tvachim. You'll be left with 3 tvachim. Why? Because the width of the Aron, right, was amma v'chetzi, 1.5, which is 9 tvachim. The luchos was 6 tvachim, so you have 3 tvachim
spare.
10 mem chetzi tefach l'chol koisel, so you have to have a half a tefach for the width of the wall of the Aron on each side. Nishtai shnei tvachim, you have 2 tvachim left. The Sefer Torah, and this is where the Sefer Torah would,
it's a very thin sefer,
would go. I'm sorry, let's go back. Sorry, no.
Rolled up.
It's still pretty narrow.
Yeah, it's narrow.
You look how big a Sefer Torah is nowadays.
The ones are like that.
No,
hang on.
Like that.
Roll it up.
In one roll, not as two sides.
Yeah, rolled up as well. Not
still,
in
it's pretty
side.
Large.
I think without you have Eitzchai, here.
It's still pretty.
Mm. Well, maybe it didn't have the Eitzchai, I don't know. Okay. Now we have, what about the Rachboy? Rachboy shall Aron.
You didn't take the Sefer Torah out for reading.
This wasn't the king one, wasn't it?
No.
This is the one that Moshe wrote.
This is one Moshe wrote. Moshe had to stay there.
Yeah, good.
Okay, continuing on. Now we have the rachba, the width of the...
This was a celebrate text.
Yeah, the width of the aron. So it says rachba shel aron tisha tefachim was 9 tefachim. Dechsev amah v'chetzi rachba. Amsa ashisa, 1 amah is 6. Upagus amsa tzlasa is 3, so you have 9. Ba'arba luchos hayubay, and there were 4 luchos inside of it. Shnaim shleimim, shnaim shvurim, 2 full ones and 2 broken ones. Dechsev, it says, asher shebati v'samta ba'aron. Haluchos hayukol echad be'echad arkan shisha tefachim, rachman shisha tefachim. So according to this, it says that there were 6, and they were by 6.
Cubed.
Yeah, they were cubed. 10 rachman shal luchos, rachman shal arein, and the width of the luchos went by the width of the luchos, and I think he's actually changes the gears over here, that it should say the width was 10 arkan shal luchos, the rachba shal arein. That the length went, the graph changes, so the length went along the width of the length of luchos went along the width of the arein. Nishtai sham shloisha tvachim, you'll be left with 3 tvachim, Chetzi tefach mikan lekoisel ze, v'chetzi tefach mikan lekoisel ze. You have 3.
The 2 half tefachim.
Yeah. Well, you have the half tefach on each of the wall, and you're left off with tefachim the shilut makom sefer Torah. The shilut. You have two left over to hold on to the makom she sefer Torah munach, to the place where the sefer Torah was, meaning to be able to put your fingers in and to able to take out the. To take out the Sefer Torah.
So you actually had 2 tefachim minus a couple of fingers on either side.
Correct.
Yeah, but according to the way that drew the drawing here, the tefachim were at the what do you call it, the narrow ends of the Sefer Torah. Let's say you got it out.
They show the Sefer Torah there in the diagram.
Well, according to Rabbeinu, but that's not according to Rabbi Yehuda. But the other thing is that these luchos must have broken in a way
that they could be evenly stacked.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. They don't fall apart.
Because normally when you say shivrim, right, you talk about little chunks.
And you've got to probably had to piece it together exactly to make it fit.
No, because you have to. No.
You take them out,
unless you had height. You had the height. You carved it up.
It may not have been crumbled into tiny little pieces. It may have just been a couple of big cracks in the middle that you could evenly stack them. Because...
I have to be telling the humans to stack regularly, again
but
and again.
Picture the scene of Moshe Rabbeinu with these 3x3 blocks of sapphire, and throwing them to the ground.
Probably a heavy stone.
It may not crumble into little pieces.
Well, no, it would have to, because they took them out often enough and then they had to put them back into that same spot. So
probably a few large chunks with one or two cracks in them.
Okay, so now we're going to go over to the view of Rebbe Meir. So it says, okay, let's... Let's crank this up a little bit. Okay. So it says the makom shilu sefer Torah munach. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar no, but amar bas chamisha tvachim. He says like Rabbi Yehuda that it was an amar 5 tvachim. Haya aron asli. Man tana ba amar bas chamisha tvachim. Who is this? Rabbi Yehuda tani netaman. Rabbi Yehuda ime amar sabinyan chisha shel kelim chamisha. Vehein aron klihu. The aron is a keli, so therefore it must be 5 tvachim. Al daite Rabbi Yehuda do amar ba amar shel chamisha tvachim. Haya arkei. Also, shnemasar tefach. So therefore, you have to say that the length of the arein was now only 12 tefach umechta, 12 and a half. Dichsiv amasayim vechetzi arka amsa chamisha is 5, but amsa is another am is 5. Upalgus amsa is trei upalig 2.5. So you have a total of 12 and a half the length of the arein. The dad luchos hayuboy shnayim shleimim v'shnayim shvurim. You had 2 broken and 2 full luchos. Dichsiv asheshabat v'samto barin baluchos hayakol echad echad arkan shisha tefachim, and the luchos was 6 tefachim long. This is obviously a Kabbalah that we have. Rachman shisha tefachim, and there were 6 tefachim wide. Okay, so 10 rachman arkan shel luchos arka shel arein. Place the length of the luchos to the length of the arein. V'nishtai yosham chetzi tefach. You're going to be left over with half a tefach. Etzba lekoisel mekan ve'etzba lekoisel mekan. According to him, the walls of the arein were not half a tefach. Right, they were half the width of according what it is according to Rabbi Meir. It was only 1 finger breadth wide. Rochba shel aron shivat tvachim. Now the width of the aron was 7 tvachim. Umechta 7.5 tvachim. Dichsiv amav chetzi rochbay. Amsa chamisha 1 am is 5. Upagus amsa is trei upalik. Vedal luchos hayu boy shnayim shleim shnayim shvurim. There were 2 full and 2 broken luchos. Dichsiv asheshi baitosh samtam ba'aron. Place them in the aron. Haluchos ayah kol echa ve'echad arkan shishat tvachim rachman shishat tvachim. The luchos was 6x6. 10 rachban l'roichav shel aron. Now when we measure the width of the aron, nishtai sham tefach umechzi, you're going to be left over because the width of the aron we said was 7.5. And you put in 6, you're going to be left over with 1.5. So what do you do? etzba lekoisa mikan ve'etzba lekoisa mikan, and then you're left over with chetzi tefach mikan ve'chetzi tefach mikan leshilut in order to pull whatever you have to take out. Ketzad also betalas aron. How did betala make the aron? Reb, who's this? He made three boxes. Two of gold. He put a gold box into the wooden box, and then the wooden box into a gold box. And he then put gold around the top ledge that was exposed wood. It you should put with gold. Why did it say titzapenu again? Tzipisa, we already know to put gold. What's vitzapehu? That's talking about the top ledge. Lavisvasa Elyanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Teva Achas. No, it was one box. I saw one wooden box vitzipo, and then he covered it with all with gold. Tzichsiv vitzipisa oisazav tarim ebayz mechutz. Ma toimer the titzapenu? Why did it say it says titzapenu according to him? Amar Pilchas Lahavi bein neser leneser, that the place where the wood itself was attached together had to be covered with gold as well, i.e. all the four sides were plated with gold and then it was put together. How were the luchos written? Rabbi Chanina ben Achir ben Gamliel Omer, chamish aluch zev, chamish aluch zev, five of dibros on each of the luchos. Who are the zev? Vayichtevem al shnei luchos avanim, chamish aluch zev, chamish aluch zev. It says you should write them on the two, meaning that the writing should be spread over the two, five on each of the luchos. For Rabbanan Amri, they say no, asar aluch zev, asar aluch zev. There were 10 on each of the two luchos. All of the aseres of dibros were written. Who had the chesiv? Vayaged lachem es briso yeshetziv aischem laso is aseres hadvarim. Asar aluch zev, asar aluch zev. It says aseres hadvarim. They have to be 2, 10 on each. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer esrim aluch zev, esrim aluch zev. There were 20 on each because it was written on both sides. The chesiv vayichtevem al shnei luchos avanim esrim aluchos zev, esrim aluchos zev. Rabbi Simai Omer Amar arbaim aluch zev, arbaim aluch zev. It was written on all four sides of the luchos. Tichsev mizeh umizeh heim ksuvim. No. Rabbi Yochanan, they say mitteroyga is a cube. That it was like a cube. So he's saying it was on four, and Rabbi Shimon is saying it's on two. Chanani ben Achiv, Rabbi Yeshua Omer ben kol dibur v'dibur diktukeh vois yoseh shal Torah. That between each of the Aseres HaDibros, then afterwards you had all of its details written on it from the Torah. Dichsiv, memulayim betarshish kiyama. That should be filled with, what's the title on the pasuk? Moshe. What's the title?
Just Tarshish.
Okay, like Tarshish Kiyama. Kiyama Rabba.
As the Great Sea. Yeah.
As the Great Sea. So what does it mean? Rabbi Shimon Melakish, it says, Kad have a mati adein kraya, have a amar, the what? Why is it like the sea? So we're going to explain before. So it says, when he came to this pasuk, have a amar yafal amdeini chananya ben achi Rabbi Yeshua, ma yamaze ben gal legadol, legal gadol galim ketanim, that just as the sea, you have one big wave and then another big wave, but in between you have small waves, kach ben kol dibur v'dibur dikto kevois, he says, so too between each of the dibris, you had one dibur and then you had all of its details from the Torah written underneath, and then another dibur and then its details. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, it's kashias kume Rabbi Pinchas, asked before Rabbi Pinchas, asuk Rabbi Yehuda, play asuk Rabbi Meir, that it must follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda and not of Rabbi Meir. My time at Rabbi Yehuda d'chsev, it says, L'koyach ha-sefer ha-toyra zeh, v'samte moysa mitzad aron b'ris Hashem. Now, going back to the measures, according to Rabbi Yehuda, said there was a six tefach aron, ben, yeah? So there was room in there for the sefer Torah. According to Rabbi Meir, the luchos took up the whole thing. So the pasuk says, you should put it in mitzad aron b'ris Hashem. According to Rabbi Yehuda, where did the Torah go? There was no room in the aron. So he says, "Kamin gluskaya also lemi b'chutz." There was a box made on the outside of the aron by a sefer Torah nosim soich, and that's where they put the sefer Torah. My time is Rabbi Meir. What's the reason for Rabbi Meir? Dichsiv nasata is a kapayus al aron memaila del aron tite nesaidus hashet en ilecha. You should put the kapayus onto the aron on top, and into aron you should put the edus that I will give to you. So obviously the The Rebbe Meir Amar ain muktam mucha b'toyra. So according to Rebbe Meir, you have to say there's no muktam mucha b'toyra. According to Rebbe Yehuda, that makes sense. You put the lid on, the luchos were there, and then you put the sefer Torah on the side. But according to Rebbe Meir, where the sefer Torah was actually inside the aron, how did it get there? So he says ain muktam mucha b'toyra. The sefer Torah went in, and then the kaparis, the lid went on. Into the aron you should put the edus that I will give to you. And then afterwards, you put the lid on the aron milmaila. Rebbe Pilchas b'shem Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish atoyra shenasan loy akarish baruch lemoishen nidnaloy. The Sefer Torah, which was given by Hashem to Moshe, was written with white fire on black fire. It was mixed up with fire, and it was carved out with fire, and it was given with fire, like it says, from his right hand, a law of fire to his people.
That's talking about the Sefer Torah, that's not talking about the Lucas.
Another joke.